morning. I'll go as far as I can, and I pray the Lord will help me through the message, and I try to do the best I can here, and I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to, I tried canceling out, and it canceled around, and Brother Lasiria said I'm going to be preaching this morning, so I had a message that I was going to preach on, there's nothing too hard for God, in Jeremiah, and every time I started getting on, I got in with Brother Bill and Jeremiah. I said, well, that's going to be a repeat. So last night at midnight, I got another message out, and I thought I'd work on this one here. National Blessings. It's an Independence Day message, but I thought it'd be very fitting to us here this morning as we, being that it is just shortly after Independence Day. But I'd like to, this year, a little bit before I get to my message here, of the 45 years that God has given us here at Maranatha. I don't know how many of you are old-timers and been back here in 65, 66, 67. That's a good ways back. But my wife and I, she come first, and then she sort of led me. I was a straggler. I come in just a little bit later. But she said, you have to come up here and get the blessings. But I'd like to describe just a little bit of what it was back there. There was no cement floor. There were no walls. And the whole way back was just gravel floor. And we had homemade benches. They made benches here. And we had them benches. And there was tremendous speakers would come in here. And they would pack out their benches. And it's just a thrilling thing to see how far we've come. And I thank the Lord for that as I think of what happened here. And a lot of times, Maranatha went through some hard, hard times. And just recently, we didn't think we were going to have enough of finances to come through. And then they called up the trustees, and he said we have, what was it, $100, $100-something in the treasury? And that was it. And Brother Lasilius, he called me, and we talked, and he said, we've come through it before, and we're going to come through it again. And that's how God does work, and He did. He got, is there anything too hard for God? And we had a big flood here, I don't know, about 4 years ago or so, and they thought it would never survive, because everything, there was water clear up into here, and everything was destroyed. We thought it was gone, but God brought it about again. So is there anything too hard for God? I'm finding out there isn't, and we just have to trust God that. And I wonder about the message here this morning. Am I going to be able to do this message? Ray, is there anything too hard for God? With the help of God, I truly believe He will help us here. And I thought, how did this happen here, that we could have these finances and that? And I think you sang out there, great is thy faithfulness, that one night. And that's what I thought. I sat back there and I said, God's faithfulness is what does it. He's faithful. We're not sometimes faithful, but God is faithful, and He will do these things for us. And I thank Him for His faithfulness. And I thought about a verse of Scripture that we had. It's a little testimony to it in our church up here. And we were looking for a building. And they were going to close down the municipal building where we were meeting with our church. And one of the conference meetings here in 1999, Jim Turner said to me, he said, you still looking for a building? I said, yeah, we can look for a building. He said, you can have one. I said, where? He said, up here. And he said, he's leaving, and somehow he managed to turn it over to us. And we got the building, we got everything in it. And we had a lady in there was cleaning. And back in the library, she went back there on a chalkboard and she wrote, we've come this far by faith. And we've kept that verse of Scripture, and I love to see it right up there. We've come this far by faith. And I thank God that He is faithful, and He will bring things about. And we can help Him by being obedient and sharing the gospel and witness for Him. I don't, I don't know whether you like humor or not, but I have a preacher joke here. And I'm about to try sharing it with you. I don't know whether it messed me up with my message or not here. But it tells about a preacher who loves golf. This was a golfing preacher. Now, I'm not much of a golfer. I think I hit two balls in all my life, and it didn't do a good job on that. So, but my barber, he is a golf everything. Every time I go over there, he got a television on there. Golf this, golf that. But this man here, this preacher here, the preacher who likes golf, he said, there was a preacher who was an avid golfer. Every chance he got, he would be found on the golf course, swinging away. It was an obsession. One Sunday was a picture-perfect day for golfing. The sun was out, no clouds in the sky, and the temperature was just right. The preacher was in and undecided as what to do. The urge to play golf overcame him. He came to an assistant. He called on an assistant and told him that he was sick and could not attend church. He then picked up the car, packed up his car, drove 3 miles to a golf course where one would not recognize him. Happily, he began to play the course. An angel up above was watching the preacher, and quite perturbed, he went to God and said, "Look at that preacher. He should be punished for what he is doing." God nodded his head in agreement. The preacher teed off on the first hole. He swung, and the ball sailed effectively through the air and landed right in the cup, 350 yards away. A perfect hole in one. The preacher was amazed and excited, and the angel was a little shocked. He turned to God and said, "Begging your pardon, but I thought you were going to punish him." God smiled and, "Oh, I am. Think about it. Who can he tell it to?" There was no one to see that hole in one. So God punished him because he hid away. Didn't you get it?
I got it.
Well, I messed up on that one already. Okay. Let's see what you can do with the message here this morning that God laid in my heart here on revival. The national blessings here that we have in our nation, and I'd just like to go back to Psalm 33 here, and we'll get our message from Psalm 33 here to 5 to 12. And let's go to God in prayer before we go to His Word here, and pray that I'll be able to finish the message here. And our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this privilege that we have to come together here to glorify You and give You all the glory and honor. We thank You for salvation we do have in our Lord Jesus. If we had nothing else, it'd be plenty, but You give us so much more. And we thank You, Father, for Your many blessings that You bestowed upon us through the years here at Maranatha. Thank You, Lord, for the message that we've been getting through this week and being fed by Your Word. And we thank You for the encouragement of all the people here together here. And we pray, Lord, that You'll be with Brother Lucilius as he teaches this morning. And we pray for Brother Bill, we thank You for the messages we've already received. Help me, Lord, this morning to be able to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we don't rely on ourselves, but we rely on Your Holy Spirit that He will guide us and direct us. And we know that we are helpless without You. And we pray that You will just bless this time and bless throughout the day that we can bring all the glory and honor to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'll read down through these verses of Scripture here, but 33 of Psalm here. We'll start in at verse 5. I don't know if there's going to be too much voice there or not. 33 and verse 5 through 12 here. And He loved righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap, and He layeth up the depths in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake And it was done. And he commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth this counsel of the heathen to a naught. He maketh the devices of people to none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart, all the generations, to all the generations. And this is our verse of scripture that we're going to be preaching on in verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. How is our nation stand? Is our nation is blessed by the Lord? And then I like to use a comparison here just a little bit. Turn with me to Psalm 9 and verse 17. Where is our nation? Is it in chapter 33 and verse 12? Or is it here in 9:17? The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that what? What's our United States leading up to? Trying to take God out of everything. And the consequences is terrible consequences. I'd rather see it. And blessed is the God that the nation worships him or stays with him. But it don't look that way. But God can send a revival. He can do things here to change things. And I thank God for that. Can you imagine a nation turning away from God with all the ministries and all the Bibles we have and all, and turn away from God? It don't seem possible. But is it happening? It is. Every place you look, they want to take God out of everything, and it's a sad situation in a country here that loved the Lord. Okay, I'll start my message here, and I don't promise you how far I'll go, but you just bear with me, and I'm going to tell Dan not to tape this, because I don't know. So can you cut it off? Okay, all right. Just pray that I can go ahead and just give me the ability to be able to preach, and that God will give me the wisdom here. For our introduction here, these national hymns, and I'm talking about these hymns that pertain to our Independence Day, to our country here, and I was inspired by these. The national hymns plead for blessings here as we sing them. And the one I really like, and I'm going to use a few of them here, and I'll just pick out a portion of them, and we'll use them. The one is, God what? God bless America. Is that the prayer for all our people anymore? God bless our America. And I thought when I was a young boy how much God was in our America, how much God cared for our America. In World War II, I was just 10 years old or something like that, but I believed United States would win that war because God was in it. And God was in people's lives back in the 40s, and it's just something that God was there. Now, where is God? They've taken God out of our schools and trying to take him out of our churches, and just a terrible situation here. But I pray God will revive again, send a revival here in our nation. Can it happen? I wonder what a revival is. And I thought in my mind here, back in the Old Testament, said he sent a former rain, and then he sent a latter rain. And I think that our churches might have had that former rain, but now, what is happening? They're wildering and they're dying off. And God can send that rain and what? Revive them. And I think that's what our nation needs now, a revival. Our churches need a revival. We're dying and don't know it. And God can. If he revived back there, he can revive again. It's either one way. Go God's way or the other way. America the beautiful, God shed his grace on thee. You believe that? Yes, God shed his grace on America. And you can see in the past how God blessed America. America, in word itself here, protect us by thy might, great God our King. And we can see how that God can protect us in our America here. God will answer the prayers of those patriotic hymns here. It depends on the conscience and conduct of the nation here. Back in Proverbs 24 and verse 34 tells us here, it depends upon the conscience and the conduct of the nation. Let's go back here and talking about the conscience and conduct of a nation. Just give me a little wee break. I try this in our church sometimes. Try to preach a message. And then I don't know what happens. But you know, I was laying in my bed last night, and this message was just flowing. Just flowing. And I got up this morning, and I told Mel, I said, I've lost it again. Something happened there. I don't know. And it's a terrifying thing. And you think that God, the Holy Spirit, is doing it. Am I doing it in the flesh? Or am I preaching in the Spirit? And I asked God to give me another year so I could retire at 50, 80 years old. Brother Lucille said, no, not till you're 90. I don't like to throw the towel in. I wouldn't. And pray that I can continue to pastor the church and be able to continue preaching. But with God's help. Okay, I'll try picking out some other things here that maybe we can work with here as I try not following my message here. Righteousness exalts all nations. Sin is a reproach to any people. So we've seen in that verse, I didn't get back there, but it talks about the righteousness and the reproach. The righteousness exalts a nation. What does sin do? Well, sin is a shame and a disgrace and dishonor. And that's what the sin does to the people here. It depends upon a nation as a response to Christ and His Word. They either accept it or they'll reject it. That's the choice they have. They want to take God out of everything. And I often think, I don't know if it ever entered your mind, they want to take God out of everything. Have they taken Him off the dollar bill yet? Have they taken Him off the coins yet? I was thinking, them people who want to take God off of that dollar bill, why do they still spend it? Why don't they get stubborn and say, I will not spend that money with that name on there. I will not receive it. Would they go that far? To prove a point? No. But yet they won't want God on that dollar bill. Well, thank you. We need a revival born in prayer. So we can only bring a revival about how in prayer here. And there's a very good one. We've used it many, many times in here and in a church here. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people will pray, humble themselves and what? Pray. God will send a revival here. We have enough of programs and strategies for church growth abound. And now so much of this is going on now. And programs prove what planning can do. Prayer proves what God can do. So there's a contrast there. Consider the praying of the early church, and I don't know whether we'll take time out to go through these here. They prayed before Pentecost in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, and they were in one accord. And I think that we could bring a revival if we get in one accord. And I don't know how many times our church has ever prayed for a revival. Come together in groups and pray for revival. I know we do up here in Maranatha. I thank God for from Maranatha, how they, everything is centered around the revival that they want to see. There was a mighty power in the church through prayer in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31 to 33 here. Let's go back and read that and see how important it is to band together in prayer. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31 to 33. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together and were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed with one heart of one soul, neither said any of them what ought the things which he possessed was his own. But they all, all things were common. And with great power gave the apostles and witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon him. So we banded in prayer, and we have a sad situation in our church. I don't know if the mileage, if they have to travel or what it is. Some Wednesday nights, just be Melda and myself at a prayer meeting. And then there's another lady sometimes comes out. There's three people from our church come out for prayer meeting. And it hurts me to see that forfeit of the opportunity to come together in prayer. But the distance and that, we think maybe that is the problem. But I pray that we can have a praying church that really wants to see a revival. Every great revival was begun in a prayer here. And we thank God for Maranatha. I do. They pray for revival. And I'd like to see it before I even go out of this old life here. A revival would take place. In the need of a revival that brings holy living here. Revival comes when people see sin as serious. How serious is sin? I was thinking, I look back on my unsaved life, and I was a pretty rough character. I did all the things you could think of. And whenever Brother Lucilius come and witness to me, I didn't want to go that way. I loved my sins so much that I didn't want to give them up, not realizing what trouble I would have been in if I'd have hung on to my sins. And one night, and he come there for a year and a half or so, trying to reach me with the gospel. I ignored him. I didn't treat him right, and I'd see him coming, I'd say, no, not him again, and I'd just want to chase him out of there. And Tuesdays, Saturday, here he'd be, Brother Lucilius. And one night he come there in 1961, and we sit down on the couch, and that night before, I don't know whether God sent a vision, or it was a dream. But I dreamed I was going to hell. Me and my friends. And I didn't want to go to hell. And I told him, I said, Brother Lucilius, I dreamed I was going to hell. He said, Ray, you don't have to go to hell. He said, Jesus died for you. He paid you. And that night, I sat on the couch with him and accepted the Lord as my Savior. Now I'm not afraid of hell. God sent that man there to bring me to salvation. I'm so indebted to Brother Lucilius. What does it take to save a person's life, soul? Took Brother Lucilius's witnessing, persistence, a man out the road by the name of Harry Lacey. We went to visit him one time. He's a saved man. And he said, told Mel and I, he said, you know, Mel, Ray, I sat on that couch here and I wept and I wept and I wept for the town of Sunmine that God would save someone. It took Calvary. It took the witness of the Holy Spirit just to save one soul. Thank God. How important is the soul? Look at the cross. Jesus was willing to go for that one soul. And I was a man. I couldn't give my testimony. People would get up in front of the church, they could do that. I couldn't usher. I couldn't pray. I couldn't do nothing. And I would just stand there and shiver sometimes if he called me to pray or something. I'd be so afraid. And to ask me, and God would lead me into the ministry, was an unheard thing. Unheard of. Of all the people, Ray Leseski. Is there anything too hard for God?
No.
Just be usable. Here I am, Lord. And I think it was Isaiah said that. Here I am. Send me. Not this guy here or that guy there. Send me. Would you use me, Lord? And I think that's what God wants to do. Just use us for His glory. How much glory do we bring to God? I thank God that He pulled me out of that miry clay and set me on that solid rock. And to have a church of my own never entered my head. Revival comes when people sin is serious. See, sin. We have wandered away from God and His holy standards. And I think what I brought out earlier, our nation is in that same condition here. What is your life? What is our life that once considered sin? We look back and see what that was. We're becoming too tolerant with sin. I truly believe that. Sin is entering into the churches and everything around. And we what? Sit back and tolerate it. Are we out protesting? Are we praying to God? Do something about it? But Satan is having a heyday out there. People are going his direction. Churches are giving in to them. And these are homosexuals being married in churches. I don't know. That's unheard of, I think. Why would a church except something like that? It has to be demonic or Satan's work. It's time for a rerun to the Bible's conviction here. And I wondered how much conviction we do get. And I often think of that one in Psalm 119 and 11 says, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I would what? Not sin against Thee. And I think if we take God's word in our hearts, we will not sin against Him. How can God bless America? It's a land of immorality, broken homes. It's a land of violence and a lack of respect for life. We have abortion and murder and on. You read the paper and you can see the terrible things that are happening daily. Not monthly, but daily. At one time I was down in Baltimore, Maryland in 1950 when we got married, Melda and I. And her aunt said, you know there's a killing down in Baltimore Street almost every day? Oh, that's terrible. I said, that don't happen in Pittsburgh. Now, I think Pittsburgh's ahead of them. They have 5, 10, maybe 20 killings down there in one day. Just something that Satan gets in there and starts problems. This return to righteousness must begin in the church here. Let the line begin between the church and the world be clear again here. And we see here how much entertainment people have to have. If the church doesn't have entertainment, people will not come. People want to be entertained. And I think that's what hurts us here. And churches that preach the gospel, not enough entertainment. We need a revival that busts forward in evangelism. All true revivals have brought sinners to Christ here. Evangelism is the missing word in the church today. How many are out evangelizing? I remember, I don't know if I ever shared this with you or not, But Brother Lucilius come in that church down at Ivywood, just in the foundation there when we went over there. But he had an area, I would even be afraid to say how far that man was reaching out. People were coming from all over into that little church in Ivywood. He was constantly out witnessing. And how many souls that man had led to the Lord, I would be afraid to even guess. He loved to give out the gospel. And I truly believe God will reward that man greatly. And I thank him that he come down in our area. And I went out on visitation with him many times. And we'd go out there and watch him. And he says, I would let them unload their wagon, then I'd load it with the gospel. He'd sit there and listen to them unload their wagon up. And he was a great man that could lead people to souls here. Evangelism is the missing word in the church here. And we see that we're supposed to go into the world and preach the gospel. The last command our Lord left us here. Let preaching on the cross produce passion souls. Souls, when I think of this one here, we sang it one time when I was preaching here. Lord, give me a passion for souls. We have that in our songbook here. If God would give us a passion for souls. Let sermons on hell show the cost of being lost. People don't like to hear. And Brother Ron Bill brought it up. People don't want to hear hell. And a lot of times I get misled here, and I don't know, carried away. And at funerals, I like to use Lazarus and the rich man. And then people in there just don't want to hear it. And I tell them, you better make up your mind here because this might be the last time you ever heard about going to hell or heaven. And so they don't want to hear it. Let altars be filled with seeking sinners. And for our conclusion, can this kind of awakening come to our land today? Why not? Our Lord is unchanged. God still answers prayers. God's blessing flow when we are ready to receive Him. I'd like to try to do something here. I don't know if I can get it out right or not. Is God good in every language? Why I'm asking you that, his brother Feathers, he went over to Czechoslovakia, and he was doing a mission work there in Czechoslovakia. And he come up here one night, and he had two little pieces of paper, two sheets of paper, and on it it had in English, God is good. God is good. God is good to me. And then down in Czechoslovakian, he had it written too. And he got up and sang that. And I said, boy, that sounds familiar. And I'm Ukrainian. And I said, I can sing that, I think. And we'll try to sing it to you. God is good. God is good. God is good to me. Боже добре, Боже ще добре, Боже ще добре по мене. God is good in any language, isn't He? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for how good You are. And we thank You for Your goodness, Your love, and Your mercy, and Your grace. Thank You, Lord, for helping me a little bit here with the message. Pray, Lord, that we make us usable people here, that we don't waste Your time, that we can be out witnessing, give us a burden for souls, Lord. Pray now You bless the services with Brother Lucilius here. Give us a message you want to hear. Pray this will be a week that we'll remember, and we know that You're in it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.